Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan on a rainy Saturday and a football Saturday and Sunday, a football weekend. I bid you adieu. What's going on? Matt Harkins is behind the glass. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call if you'd like to get on and chat for the next 2 hours about a lot of things that happened this week. We want you to do that. You could also do it on the Fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. It reminds you to text responsibly, same as the call-in line. It's 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. You can also follow this station on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. So a lot going on. I'll get to the football in a second, but I have this debate all week, and I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Aaron Judge hits number 61. Now, you can talk about part of this is the guy out in left field who dropped the ball right in his glove. I think his name is Frankie Lasagna. But Frankie dropped what would have been, who knows, a life-changing kind of sum of money out there. Given what people are paying for these sorts of things, number 62 will be worth quite a bit. But Frankie Lasagna should, you know, they should double down on that. Somebody should do a promo on him. You know, he dropped this, but he's got a great restaurant. Because apparently with a name like Lasagna, he supposedly owns a restaurant. They should make it something that is worth his while. Or he should. Come on in. Aaron Judge should upon himself just say, you know what, Frankie, I'm going to find you. I'm going to come and have dinner at your place. Just have fun with it. I don't know if he will or won't. I do know this. Aaron Judge has 61, likely to get 62, although he's running out of time. But it leads to this debate, which we've had and will continue to have. Some people in New York will regard this as the all-time Major League home run record, even though Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds have gotten past this number. Bonds is the all-time leader with 73. I still think the number 73. I don't care what Judge does, and I don't care what people out there look back at the steroid era. The one thing that stuns me is that while baseball now seems to be sort of ambivalent about this, you know, they allowed these guys to play. The drug testing program was just getting introduced. There was no limitations on anything. And they celebrated that success. They turned those seasons by, you know, Bonds and Sosa, McGuire, into what they promoted. The race to beat Aaron, the race to get over 70, all of that. They championed that situation. So if they're going to do that, then they knew full well that those records are legit. You saw it, I saw it, everybody saw 73. I'm never going to say Barry Bonds is not the home run champion in all of baseball. He has the most. He hit 73 in the season. That's the record. And until someone tops it, you know, you can believe what you want. If you believe that, you know, the steroids, but keep in mind, there were a lot of people doing steroids in that time. As I said, the drug testing program wasn't introduced till the early 2000s. And that includes pitchers. Pitchers were using them. And you can argue that it helped them, that it helped batters, whatever the case. He was allowed to play. The league, the organization celebrated those records. Therefore, those are the records, and those are not going to change. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let me know what you think on that. But Judge is a classy guy, and I'm glad to see him with that situation at 61. And I hope he does get to 62. Roger Maris Jr. has been there following this. Finally got it in Toronto the other night, and we'll see what he does the rest of the way here. But there numbers are off the charts for Aaron Judge and what he's been able to do offensively this season. And, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that if you look at the overall numbers that he has put up, he should be part of the MVP conversation along with Ohtani. I'm one of these guys who thinks there should be shared MVPs. I know that's not how it normally goes. I remember in 1979, Keith Hernandez and Willie Stargell were shared MVPs. You know, Judge has every offensive number, number one across the board in just about everything. I know what he is. He's a potential gold glove guy year in and year out in the outfield. He is the complete baseball player. Detractors for Ohtani will say he doesn't play the field. He's a designated hitter and a pitcher. But still, you can't deny what he's done. The other night, he flirted with a no-hitter. He took it into the eighth inning, two outs before the first hit against the Oakland Athletics. Ohtani is 15-8 on a really bad baseball team. With a 2.35 ERA, it's the fourth lowest in the American League. Think about that, 2.35 in a year where Charlie Morton just got $20 million one-year extension, right, with Atlanta today he just signed. He has a 4.62 ERA, and they're giving him $20 million a year. Ohtani's 2.35 with 15 wins on a team that can't win. But when he's out there, he is the most valuable guy, in my view. On top of that, 213 strikeouts. You look at the list, as I just did, that's third in the American League. ERA, I told you, is fourth in the American League. Then on offense, 34 home runs, a 275 average, an OPS of 900, 94 runs batted in. First player in baseball history to hit 30 home runs at the plate, 200 strikeouts on the mound. No one's done it. Both are significant. Aaron Judge will likely be the winner. And again, I have no problem with that. He deserves it based on what he's done. But I think Ohtani, who also won it before on a bad team, and for those of you who think that can't happen, it has happened. In fact, three times with the Angels. That's how bad they are. You have Trout twice, Ohtani once, MVPs of the league, and they stink every single year. And then there are teams that take advantage of drafting and developing, and the Angels haven't done it. They've spent money badly, but they've also not drafted wisely. You know, you see a team like Seattle last night. They got in on a walk-off home run. They clinched a playoff for the first time since A-Rod was there, I think, as a rookie 21 years ago or however it was. The 21-year streak of not making the playoffs, but a 25-year-old kid by the name of Cal Raleigh hits a walk-off home run to qualify them for the playoffs. If you look at their team, they got a bunch of young kids that they've developed, and they're now, you know, reaping the success that comes with that. It takes time, and that's what the Pirates find themselves in. And I know Cale Burger just spent a lot of time talking about that, but the Pirates are going to end up with another 100-loss season. That's awful. I tweeted out this is the eight-year anniversary of the Pirates in the postseason and what it was like back 8 years ago. Matt, you remember that. It was the hottest ticket in town. It was a feverish kind of pace to what was going on with the Pirates, and it was the first of 3 years of this, and then everything else changed because they weren't willing to add on or do it. But the Pirates have drafted, I hope, better. They've acquired some people in trade. All you have to do is look at Johan Oviedo the other night, and that was part of the Quintana deal. He's been good. I got to believe he's going to be in this rotation. Luis Ortiz is a young kid, but boy, he has the moxie, it looks like, and the stuff. Will it last? Will it turn into something that results in playoff contention? I don't know. But at least for now, it looks like there's some promise in what is an otherwise ugly 100-loss season once again. 412-928-9370 is the number. If you'd like to opine on those two topics, let me know. Who's your MVP? And also, what record stands? Is it Bonds or will it be Judge if he gets to 62? A lot of people discount all those guys back in the National League. But again, baseball celebrated their success. They knew what was potentially going on, and yet it was okay because it sold tickets. 412-928-9370. The other thing we're going to talk about here today is a lot of football. And later today, Pitt is hosting Georgia Tech over at Acrisure Stadium. And Georgia Tech just fired their head coach. It's the third time this season, I believe, if I'm counting right. Nebraska and who else? Herm Edwards, Arizona State. They both got fired before the end of September. And so now Georgia Tech adds their head coach to the list. They come in here as an awful football team, 22-point underdogs to Pitt. So we have a pregame show coming up at 5 to 6 to kick off our Panther coverage on 93.7 The Fan. I'll be joined by Doran Dickerson as well as Paul Zeiss. And I don't know if there's much to break down in this other than, you know, Pitt has to still go out and do it. They're 22-point favorites. That's a big number for me. Anytime you get 22 points, I think I'm probably taking the 22 points just because I like points. But Pitt should, if you look at their season and look at what they've done and who they play, you can make an argument they should go 11-1. If your expectations are this program is now one of the elite programs in the ACC, which I think it's trending sort in that direction, then they have to win these games. They're in a position, if they do, to incrementally move up the rankings. They're ranked now for the 11th straight week. I think they're 24th or 23rd, depending on who you talk to. So they got to keep doing this. The ACC is not, especially Coastal, is not that great. They should be able to have their way with all of these opponents. West Virginia will be at Texas. Texas is a 9.5-point favorite. West Virginia needs a win. They're 2-2, 0-1 in the conference. And then Penn State, which is ranked number 11, they are going up against Northwestern, and they're favorites in that game. Northwestern comes here. Penn State is 4-0, 1-0 in the Big Ten. And another thing I want to point out, anyone interested in soccer, the Riverhounds have clinched a playoff spot for the fifth consecutive season. And right now they have an opportunity as the playoffs begin on October 21st to continue their climb to the USL Championship. They have a team in town tonight. It's a good team, San Antonio. They're the best in the USL right now. I think they only have 5 losses. That's a good test. If you've never been down to Highmark Stadium, go head down. It's a fun experience. The games last 2 hours. You know that going in. Clock keeps running, but there's some pretty talented guys on display there. And the Riverhounds will be going to the playoffs for the fifth consecutive year. 412-928-9370. Of course, the other thing is what's going on tomorrow at Acrisure Stadium. Last night, we had a celebration of the 90 years of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was honored MC. We had a lot of guys in town who made history, who made a lot of the headlines that you saw over the years. And it was great talking to Santonio Holmes. We were talking about that catch, and it was interesting to me how he said they practiced that over and over and over throughout Super Bowl week, those kinds of plays in the corner of the end zone. And his biggest thing about that throw after he dropped one in the other side of the end zone is that would Ben Roethlisberger go back to him? In the huddle, he looked at him and nodded his head and gave Santonio the indication he was going to go right back to him. That throw was a tough throw. As you remember, against Arizona, there were hands everywhere. And Santonio said, when it came, the first thing I thought of was as soon as I get that ball in my hands to look at my feet. I got to know where my feet are. And he did the best toe tapping you're going to find. Now, there's still debate about who should be the MVP of that Super Bowl. Santonio Holmes got it. A lot of people felt it should have been Ben Roethlisberger. But the throw was great. The catch was great. And so the bottom line is that was one for the ages. And he was there to talk about it with other guys as well. Joe Green. It was great to talk to Mel Blunt and others on the stage last night. So the Pittsburgh Steelers come in to take on the Jets, which, you know, year after year, the Jets and Giants. How would you like to live in New York, Matt? I mean, you got these two high-profile teams getting top 10 draft picks likely year after year after year. And here they are in their last 5 years. They're 31-59. Zach Wilson, we expect him to play tomorrow, but Zach Wilson is coming off an injury that, you know, we'll find out. They say it's going to be a game-time decision. You know, last year as a rookie, they threw him right in. This is the debate we're having in Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett. What's the proper way to handle a young kid? Zach Wilson was the second overall pick in last year's draft, and he struggled. He only completed 55% of the passes. I think he was like Trevor Lawrence. They had more interceptions than touchdowns, struggled. But it was experience that he gained on the job. Then he got hurt. He never played so far this season. He may play tomorrow. What exactly is Zach Wilson? You know he can run. You know he can do those things. But he puts himself in harm's way at times. And I think that's something, you know, obviously the Steelers have got to look out for. His ability to break plays open, to roll to his right or left and make throws on the run, which he can do. But the Jets are a bad team. They have tackles galore, back and forth, injury, rotation, bring guys in. The Steelers should have their way with them, I think, defensively, especially if Zach Wilson plays. If they do what they're supposed to do and don't lose him in terms of containment, they should be able to get back on that turnover train that they had in Cincinnati. Maybe not as many as they got, but sacks and turnovers should reappear in this game. The Jets also have the worst defense in the NFL last year. They've done nothing to change that. They're still bad defensively. In fact, they put a lot of money into it, but it's a backfire. I haven't seen many. You got some names out there like C.J. Mosley, but that hasn't changed the way the Jets have gone. The Bengals had their way with them. The Ravens had their way with them. And the Browns, quite frankly, had their way with them until the Browns. Who said that? What? Juju Smith, whoever said it. They're right. They blew that game in miraculous fashion. All right, let's go to the lines before we go to a break. I know we got to get to a break, Matt, but we'll start with Luke on the cell, who joins us right now with the baseball talk that I threw out. Hey, Luke, how are you?
Hey, Bone. I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I think this year you honestly have to give it to Judge. I know everyone's going to bring up Shohei Ohtani as someone, an argument as well. But for a long period of time there, and still kind of is, Judge kind of put the Yankees on his back. And what he's doing is remarkable. I mean, watch baseball at 24, watch this my whole life. I've never seen what Judge has been doing. I just think this year it has to go to Judge.
Because he's on a winning team? Is that your tiebreaker?
No. I know that people are saying, because what if he wasn't? But for a long period of time there, like I was saying, Judge was most, for a couple stretch there, he was carrying, put the team on his back. So that's my argument there, is why I think that he should be MVP.
And I won't disagree with that argument, other than to say that you talk about putting somebody on your back. How about the entire Anaheim Angels team? Ohtani, as I said, 15 wins on a team that is awful. One of the best ERAs in baseball, top two in strikeouts, and an offense that has a 900 OPS. I don't know. You described carrying on your back. Who better than Shohei Ohtani? Without him, even with Trout, they're not even close to being the win total that they have. You know what I'm saying? So value is a subjective term. And while I understand Aaron Judge, you know, if it's up to me, I would do co-MVPs. I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I would. I just think they're both I think they're both deserving of it. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, if that happened, would you be disappointed?
No, absolutely not. And I think that would be, if that were something that could happen, I think that would totally, you could have an argument for both of them to do that as well. But even if Aaron Judge was, let's say, on the Pirates, and with the record as it is, wherever he would be, if you take aside from him, like I said, carrying the team on his back, just himself, is just what he's done this year, is on base percentage, his home runs or whatever. He's just an all around fantastic ball player, and I've never seen a player like this. And I think that you just I think you could, like you said, make the argument to give it to Shohei as well.
Let me ask you this. If Judge was on a team that did not qualify for the playoffs, let's say both Anaheim and the Yankees are not in it, does your vote change?
No.
You're still going to give it to Judge? Okay.
I'm still going to give it to Judge, yeah, just because of the year he's having, yes.
Gotcha. Thanks, Luke. I appreciate the call. We have more
Thank
on the
you,
way. Yeah, anytime. We have Ray on the cell. We have Tidal Man. We have Ed in Kennedy Township. All coming up. Don't go away. We'll get to that one line open. Call 412-928-9370. All right, welcome back as we continue at 412-928-9370. Our show is sponsored by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran. Go one better. And drive in style 24-7 with expressway at Cochran.com. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. We air that show right here every night at 10:35, and of course on Pittsburgh CW. We hope you tune in every night at 10:35. In the meantime, I want to know, 73, is that still the magic number? Is it tainted? Should Bonds still be remembered as the guy who has the most home runs in Major League Baseball? Also want to expand this conversation to include the Steelers and the Jets. Your expectations for this game, what do you think has to happen to make you feel better about the Steelers season, if anything? Or are you of the belief that if they lose, it's time to turn things over to Kenny Pickett? Not unlike, you know, a lot of teams that throw guys right into the fire, and they have bumps along the way. But they seem, you know, a lot of guys will benefit from being in that position. We saw it with Trevor Lawrence last year. He seems to be doing better this year as a result. Joe Burrow is another example. And Zach Wilson was thrown into this right at the beginning, and he didn't have good numbers. In fact, they still stunk. However, you know, the situation is that they're relying on him to be the man. And if he struggles this year, you wonder what that would actually do, the situation. Let's go to line three. That would be Ray, who joins us on the cell. Hello, Ray. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I love Pitt football, and I hope they do well. But I also like Pitt basketball just a little bit more. And I know when all this reshuffling is done with all these football conferences, and that may not be for another 5 or 10 years, do you think there's any chance that these teams would consider separating football from all the other sports and going to a different conference? Because the way I see it, I think Pitt football will be okay in the ACC, and that was a good move. But for basketball, I just don't see them having much of a chance to recruit. They were okay in the Big East. They could recruit players from New York City to play in the Big East tournament. But now I think it's a lot harder, and I think they got their work cut out for him.
I would
and
say,
I also want to say one other thing, yeah. is if Notre Dame could be independent in football, but, you know, and be in a conference for everything else, why can't others do the same?
No, because Notre Dame's unique. It really is. They've been able to attract their own television network. Pitt's not anywhere near that. Pitt should just be happy, I think, at this point, being in the ACC. As long as, and I don't think you're going to see any more contraction of other conferences. I think the ACC in basketball is a challenge for them to recruit. I think they can recruit. I think Capel knows that the pressure's on him this year, and he has some good young kids that are coming here. The transfer portal, more than anything else, makes it difficult for Pitt in basketball, I would think. Because if you get a good guy, and he, you know, all of a sudden, you try hard to keep him here, you try hard to re-recruit him to stay at Pitt, or for that matter, any other school, but you know those big teams come hunting, and they're going to want to draw them away. That's the one thing that, to me, will hurt Pitt basketball more than anything else, losing people that you work so hard to recruit. And so I think I would stay put, try to compete. I think, you know, in basketball, it's a whole different thing. Football, there are many positions you got to recruit and get big-time players. In basketball, you come up with two really good players, you could put yourself in a good position quickly.
Well, didn't that kid from Quaker Valley, did he decide to go to Kentucky?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I mean, you got to still, wherever you find him, you got to find him, bring him here. And if they're good players, you got to convince them that this is the place for them to be. And there's a lot of things you can use to convince them to be here. Not the least of which is you're gonna be a star player right off the bat. You can come in and play if you're that good. We're not going to hold you back. You know, you don't have to worry about being behind
that,
two other guys before you get some playing time.
I guess my only hope was that maybe with the NIL, maybe they have a little bit more money than some of the other schools. Not all of the schools in the ACC, but maybe a few more. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
All right. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the call, and have a good weekend. Line two we go. It's Title Man who joins us right now. What's up, Title Man? How are you?
How you doing there, Bob?
Good, thanks.
Hey, first of all, I got to reply to the last call. I mean, I think it's a pipe dream that, you know, I think Pitt's future was and is in the ACC, and the best thing that ever happened to them was landing on their feet back there in 2011. They're getting the invite to the ACC. The only thing that's wrong with Pitt basketball right now in recruiting is that we're losing. You know, and it's tough. It's tough to recruit when you have bad teams. So, you know, and I think this year is going to be a test. It's going to be for Coach Capel. And, you know, if they don't have a good record this year, or at least a 500 record in the ACC, I would think that he's going to be gone. Hey, today's game, I'm a little bit leery about it. I mean, you got to remember one thing. As bad as Georgia Tech is, you know, they have a real quarterback. It's going to be very dicey out there. God knows if Keaton has ever played in these super soupy kind of, you know, weather conditions. He's from Arizona. He went to Southern Cal. I can't imagine he's been exposed to this all that much. And, you know, he might be well advised to run over to the Steeler training facility and grab a couple of Kenny's gloves. But,
you know what, though, I'm sure all these kids have been exposed to some of this. It's just rain. It shouldn't be that bad beyond it. I don't see a lot of wind attached to it. I think Pitt is much better. If they do, you know, Frank Cignetti loves to run the ball. This, and they did it last week, and I think that'll help them today, too. They'll possess the ball. They should move the ball consistently. The point spread's another story. I mean, that's a lot of points. If you're into betting these games, I mean, I'll take 22 points anytime. I don't care who it is. Pitt should win easily, but I'm not worried about this game at all. And if they do stumble, it'll mostly because of what you described, that they're not either ready for it or they just decided to not play up to it. But I think they're going to win today fairly easily.
I think a big part of it, Bob, is they've got to get some of these guys who have been, you know, on the injured list. I use that loosely because Narduzzi never tells you whether they're injured or 1,000%. So, they can need guys like Baldonado back. I'm curious as to what's wrong. You know, if Gavin Bartholomew is going to be back today, they have some defensive backs like Marquise Williams that need to, you know, they need to get back in the fold. That's. I mean, again, this isn't going to be a pushover. The Georgia Tech quarterback is not bad. He's not a very good passer, but
They don't have a lot of other weapons, and I think their defense is really bad. Both sides of the ball are not
horrible.
Good. So, all right, Titleman, thanks. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Should be a fun day. Appreciate your call. Kennedy Township is our next destination. We got Ed joining us right now. Hello, Ed.
How you doing, Bob? Hey, are you on the air the last two Saturdays this month? Is that Pitt football?
It depends on the time. You know, if they play early games, it may change. But if not, we don't know times of these games yet.
I just had a suggestion. You play some spooky music for your lead-ins, like the Chiller Theater theme, Werewolves of London, just little clips.
Okay, what else?
How did the Penguins shape up with injuries? Anybody out for a long period of time?
I don't think so. Jeff Carter was banged up. It was still in the preseason, but thanks for the call, Ed. I think the Penguins are going to go into this rather healthy. They're experienced. They're older. The whole test will be how they stay that way. If they're healthy throughout the course of this entire season, that playoff streak will go on. They're just too talented not to. The question becomes, and if you saw the preseason game the other night to the Grand Rapids Red Wings, they had a bunch of young kids up there. And I'll tell you what, they've done a pretty good job in bringing in talent to Detroit. It's been a long route for them after 25 years of being in the playoffs year after year. But Steve Yzerman knows what he's doing. And I think you're going to see that team really advance themselves this year and become somebody that could be a thorn in the side to deal with as they get back to where they once were. But in that game, we saw the same sort of problems with turnovers. Power play went 0-for-9. You know, it's preseason. I don't know what to make of that other than I'm sure Mike Sullivan was not happy with that effort. You can't do the same exact problems on power plays, shorthanded goal allowed, sloppy play here and there. Those are the things that will kill the Penguins in the postseason. The biggest thing will be healthy goaltending. Jarry, I would expect to get a new deal here pretty soon. He deserves it. I think he's going to be somebody, and he admitted last year that he wasn't really ready to play but came in that game 7 against the Rangers anyway. And probably wouldn't have played after that for a while, just how his foot was doing. So I think the Penguins will have a good regular season, and then we'll see. They'd like to end this first round and out status for the last 5 years, and they have the talent to do it. The question is, will they be healthy enough because of their age to be in that position? All right, welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're talking about a lot of things, including the MVP. Should it be Judge? Should it be Ohtani? Should it be both? Home run record, is 73 still your number with Barry Bonds, or do you believe it's tainted and that Aaron Judge, if he gets to 62, should have that based on all the steroids and all the things you've heard about McGuire and Sosa and everything else? But my take on that is they've been allowed to do it. They were on the field. It was celebrated by Major League Baseball. It was used as promotion by Major League Baseball. So they knew what was going on at the time. And if you allow it, you saw it. 73 is still the number for me. We also have a lot of football, as I said, the Dolphins and Bengals. You saw that game. Cincinnati is sort of rounding into their what you expect them to be right now, which is a really good team. And Joe Burrow continues to take this team and will to a big level. They started 0-2, now 2-2. The big takeaway in that game was Tua Tagovailoa, who had to be stretchered off the field. The thing about that is that everyone before the game – was okay with the fact that he was playing in that game, even though on Sunday, clearly it looked like he was woozy after he got up, fell down. And the Dolphins cleared him to go back into that game, which was surprising to me. Not the Dolphins, the guy who's in charge of the protocols, and they are independent people. In this game, it happens, and immediately the first thing is, even though it was looked at as a head and neck injury, although the Dolphins did tweet out it was a concussion, since it is a concussion, to me, he shouldn't play this week at all or next week for them. But it makes you wonder about what they're actually doing. And you also wonder how much influence do players have to put themselves. They can tell people, I'm fine. If the concussion, if the neurologist on site looks at it and says, well, it's not a concussion, are you supposed to not believe him? Are you supposed to blame the organization for what they say? I mean, to me, it's a... He got back into the game. He was cleared to play on Thursday. If he's cleared to play, he's cleared to play. You want to blame the Miami Dolphins, but if their doctors and the independent people say he's cleared to play, then what are you supposed to do, not play him? Now, you can take a proactive approach and say this is only 3 days later and you can't get out there. You just came off a woozy situation. But it's funny to me on the, you know, they tweeted this out, which I didn't understand. On the way home, he's watching a video, which is on a, you know, a laptop, which I remember, well, anyone who's dealt with concussions, you don't want to see bright lights of any sort. Not the, the least of which are these lights on these cell phones or, and here he is flying on the way home after being discharged from the hospital just after the game. And he's watching, you know, a movie. That's the last thing you should be doing, right, Matt? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand. But to me, doctors have always said, you stay away from bright lights. You stay away from these lights that come from cell phones. And here he's watching a movie on the way home.
Wasn't Crosby wearing, like, sunglasses at all times because of his concussions?
Yeah. And people, you know, at times were wondering, I remember back, you know, oh, Sidney's, how long is he going to? Well, you never know. These things are dangerous. And the more they compile, if he had one on Sunday, which they said was head and neck, they didn't say concussion, was allowed to play, that's 4 days later. That's 2 and 4 days, if you believe that. But again, the doctors make the final decision. You have to stop players from hurting themselves at some point, though. And I think that's another issue here. You can convince yourself, I need to play. I'm going to tell my team I'm ready to go. But again, it comes down to doctors. And if doctors believe that.
Sort of like what Narduzzi did with Slovis, holding him out of the Western Michigan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes back to the Tomlin story about Ryan Clark, where even though he was, you know, cleared, he could have played in that Denver high altitude. He held him out for his own well-being. And I'm sure Ryan, in fact, I remember talking to him at the time, he was not happy with that decision. But Tomlin was looking out for his well-being. So I think that's the issue you have here. And the NFL is looking into it. The NFLPA wants an investigation. And then I'm sure the guy in charge of all of this, for the head of the NFL, will have to address it. And hopefully it's transparent, and hopefully it's soon. 412-928-9370, Dan on the cell joins us right now. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to weigh in on the baseball MVP talk. You had a caller on earlier that I heard you mentioned co-MVPs, and he kind of laughed and said, well, if that could happen, I mean, you and I both know it has happened with Keith Hernandez and Willie Stargell back in 79 as co-MVPs. Mm-hmm. I don't dismiss anything that Aaron Judge is doing. He's having an historic season. You know, he's on the Yankees, so that makes him a little more high profile. We see him more here in the eastern part of the United States. That being said, what Ohtani's doing has never been done in baseball before. I'm in Joe Starkey's camp on this, where it's just almost like we don't recognize what we're seeing because it's never been done. If there was ever a year where two guys were worthy of being co-MVPs, I feel like it's this year. This is the only time I've ever seen anything like this in my lifetime, and I'm in my 50s. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, here's the thing.
Taking my call.
Yeah, Dan, and here's the thing. You can't just say that. You can't vote on it that way. It's going to be whatever the vote is, and someone will get more than the other. And Judge probably is going to get lion's share, if not all of the votes. And again, I won't have a problem with that, except that you have to define value to me. It is a subjective term based on how teams do. And it seems like a lot of people will always use, well, he's on a bad team. Well, guess what? Three times already the Angels have had MVPs on terrible teams. Trout twice, Ohtani once. They're great players. They're valuable. You can't hold the rest of the organization responsible for what's around them. You know, you can do that. You can say, look, they don't have a lot of talent. Again, I'm stunned by the fact that he's a 15-game winner, one of the best ERAs in all of baseball, one of the best strikeout totals in all of baseball on a crap team, and he has an OPS of 900 with 34 home runs. You just don't see this kind of stuff. So to me, if there's a way to get them both, that's the way I would do it, but it's a unique year. I don't think it'll be that way. Judge will win the thing, and he will deserve to win the thing, even though I think Ohtani is just up there in the same conversation with him. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown, who joins us. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, a couple of things. Let's talk about football real quick and baseball. About the Steelers, I mean, I have no clue why Pickett's not playing. The guy's 25 years old. It's not like he's 21 years old. I mean, this is ridiculous. You got to get the guy out there and play. He's better than Trubisky. It's like playing Tommy Maddox over Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Hanratty over Terry Bradshaw. That's just ridiculous.
Greg,
in my opinion,
a lot of people agree with you. And listen, teams have already done that. They've thrown their guys in there. I get it. You know, but Joe Burrow had to go through his holes. He wasn't 21 either. They threw him in, and that was a complete opposite of what the Steelers have done. But the Steelers have also thought that they could get away with a quarterback who can manage as long as they have a run game that can be better. And I thought that's what they were banking on. It has not happened. But you make it sound like it's automatic, fait accompli, that Kenny Pickett can be a star right off the bat. He's a better.
I mean, I've seen both of these guys play. I think Trubisky stinks. I've seen a guy play in college. I've seen a guy play in the pros. He has a horrible throwing motion. He throws off the back of his foot. He can't find receivers over the middle. He runs out of the pocket too quick. I watch these games. You tell me if he's good.
Well, no, I'm telling you, he's being restricted for some reason. And he admitted that he can't audible, he can't do a lot of things. And I think that's more coaching staff and Matt Canada than it is the player. If Kenny Pickett comes in and is under the same situation where he is not going to be allowed to make plays or do whatever he wants, and he won't be because he's a young kid, you may end up with the same thing. I'm not against him playing. Trust me, I'm not. Their logic was trying to get out of Trubisky what they saw in him, what a lot of teams saw in him when he was a number two overall pick. He hasn't been that good. They average 18 points a game. They're one of the worst teams offensively in the league. We'll see after this week. If they get better this week and they allow some things to happen, let me ask you this real quick. If let's say they're terrible, you go to Trubisky, you go to Pickett, what would you expect next week, the week after, and the 2 weeks after that? Or does it matter to you? Because he's going to take his lumps, and that's okay.
He's going to make mistakes. He's a young quarterback. I think Ben and I think Bradshaw make mistakes. But this guy's not the future. Trubisky's not the future. So if you play Trubisky for half a year this year, now you lost a half a year with this quarterback. And I'm just being honest. And we're not going to the Super Bowl like everybody says. So this is the case.
Well, I'm not saying that. They're not a Super Bowl team. I understand the logic. Thank you, Greg. I do. I understand why you would want to use this, just like we're talking about with the Pirates and throwing O'Neal Cruz and everybody else out there. Now, they're already far eliminated. The Steelers still believe they have a chance. They have a defense that's one of the highest paid. They expect them to be competitive every week. That's the premise by which they're going. You may disagree, and I think if this continues, then I would make a switch too. And I said to me, the logical spot, and I said this before the season, would be the bye week. I'd wait this, and I want to give Trubisky his chance, and if it doesn't look better than it's looked, then you make a switch, and then you start using Kenny Pickett. And once he gets in there, you don't take him out. I don't care how bad he may be. I don't care how many interceptions he throws. 412-928-9370 is the number to call.